I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Paso Robles, California, and we're here at Ava Hotel with Chef Casey and Chef Julian.
Hi, my name is Julian Aseo. I am the consulting chef for the Ava Hotel.
And consulting chef, how does that differ from executive chef?
I get the easy part. Chef Casey does most of the heavy lifting. I'm just here to assist in any way I can and try to bring my expertise and love for food and mentorship to help the amazing culinary team we have in at the Ava Hotel.
My name's Chef Casey. I'm the executive chef for the Ava Hotel. Took over the project when Julian consulted and laid the groundwork for everything, all three outlets.
So Julian was on the ground before you?
Yeah, he laid the groundwork for everything here. He was the original.
Casey, where did you come from? What's your background?
I came from the Bay Area.
Where?
Literally all over the Bay. San Jose, Mountain View, Sunnyvale, San Mateo, San Francisco, Oakland.
Wow.
So bounced around quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. And what type of restaurants?
So primarily I worked in Palo Alto at Bird Dog, and then I went to San Francisco. I worked at Lazy Bear, Stage at Saison for quite a while. I worked at Staber Provisions in the Progress. I worked at Flower Plus Water for a little while. So kind of all over the place.
Any favorite outstanding memory?
Definitely Staber Provisions was the best spot I ever worked at in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Chef Stewart was an incredible mentor.
And what was your position?
I was a cook at Staber Provisions.
A line cook?
Yeah, a line cook. Well, we all kind of did a little bit of everything there. We would cook, and then we would walk around and talk to tables, sell. We would do whatever, you know, however we could help the family in Staber and help each other, so...
Did you and Julian work together to kind of create the motif, the type of cuisine that you were going to serve here?
A little bit. Julian definitely did most of that starting out. And then when we were in groundwork, we would test recipes and kind of go back and forth. And, you know, he always had a vision with how things were going to look here. And it's been great working with Julian. He's a great mentor. So
very cool. Talk to us about your philosophy here and how you kind of settled on it, how you determined what the motif of your culinary offerings were going to be here.
Yeah, so I think the motive and the focus for Ava and especially Emre was to create something that didn't exist in Paso yet and bring something that was unique and fun while being able to showcase, you know, the beautiful bounty of the Central Coast. I grew up in France, and so, you know, the Mediterranean coast and...
Were you in the south of France then?
Yeah, so I grew up in Bordeaux, so kind of the southwest area, but, you know, I spent a lot of time along the Mediterranean and travel kind of throughout Europe.
There's some familiarity here, isn't there?
Exactly, and that was a big point too, you know, when we thought about developing the concept, and again, especially for Emre, was really to kind of highlight, you know, the similarity in climate and ingredients. So that's kind of how it started, and then it just grew from there.
Talk to us about the motif of what you serve, and fresh and local and going to the farms and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to speak on behalf of Chef Casey, but he does an amazing job at really working with local farmers and fishermen and really highlighting the beautiful ingredient from the Central Coast. You know, I think it fits well with that style of cuisine. You know, it's bright, it's fresh, it's seasonal, and so it's pretty amazing.
That's really cool. And you guys get out and go to the farms and talk with the growers?
Yeah, as much as possible. You know, we've really built some really great relationship with some of our farmers and fishermen, from oysters to local fish to amazing edible flowers. You know, it really, I think, as chef, it makes our life easier when we're working with passionate people and people who care about, you know, what they do and their craft. And so, yeah, just really kind of being able to highlight all those amazing ingredients.
Yeah, I think Chef Julian said it plain as day. It makes our job easier as chefs working with some of these amazing farmers. Windrose Farms with Catherine and Justin, Brandon, Seed and Bucket Farm, Grassy Bar Oysters. We get great produce from Comanche Lines, County Lines with Comanche Farms. I mean, the list goes on. And really being able to utilize seasonal produce here in California to reflect the Mediterranean, it's easy because of how much beautiful produce and vegetables and, you know, the beautiful fish, the proteins we're able to get in. It's really spectacular.
That's really cool. So your offering might change by the week or by the day, right?
It can. I mean, we definitely pursue some adventurous specials throughout outlets, which allow us to play on what's seasonal week by week. There's definitely shorter seasons of certain vegetables and fruits that we like to play on. And, you know, this helps our farmers too, because whatever they're able to grow in season, it's more substantial for them versus, you know, growing something that's not in season just to appease a restaurant or, you know, what someone really wants to bring in. So it's a win-win relationship for sure.
That's really cool. Chef Julian, have you come up with like a signature dish or dishes? You've been open almost a year. So
yeah, almost a year already. Yeah. You know, it's time flies, but yeah, I think we've been able to build a core item of our menu. I think one that comes to mind is our Slovakis, which are those large skewers of different proteins: chicken, pork, beef. We have a rotating seasonal vegetable. Those have really, I think, become a staple. You know, we have this amazing custom built wood grill that's being highlighted in our open kitchen, and so all those Slovakis come from the grill. And then, you know, I think also our dips, you know, the hummus, the baba ganoush, the zalouk, you know, those are, I think, have become naturally signature dishes. And I think that's the beautiful thing about signature dishes, is we don't create them. I think the guests, you know, and the people who come in make them signature dish by continuing to ordering them.
And you notice that, and then you realize you can't take it off the menu.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so it's a double-edged sword, because sometimes you want to switch it up a little bit. Yeah. But you have to be able to hold on to some of those classics. And I think it's a great way to highlight the vision that we have for Emre.
You've been open long enough, you've seen the customers and how they respond.
I think Julian kind of called them out, as the Slovakis are a huge hit. Also the hummus and the pita, I think if we ever changed any of those, there'd be an uproar that they come back.
So they come in expecting that.
Yeah, definitely. I do think there's a more of a pull for anything that comes off the grill. We like to touch pretty much everything that's on our menu on that grill. Utilize the oak that we have here in the Central Coast. It's got a very unique flavor that you can't really find anywhere else. So just being able to have our menu items touch that grill and get that flavor is something unique that you can't find everywhere else. So,
and you source your beef and your lamb and whatnot in the county?
As much as possible. Mm-hmm. We do look for the highest quality product we can, and we will source that when we're able to. If there is a farm in the county that mm-hmm. we can use, there's a great Wagyu beef farm called The Body that sometimes we'll use. They have a great offering, so we'll use that for our skewers sometimes, or our steak set. But all of our proteins are very high quality. We use Iberico pork, we use Jadori chicken, and Wagyu beef, so very high quality, yeah.
That's really cool. Let's talk about buzzwords. You have regenerative agriculture, which is a huge buzzword now. You have sustainable, organic. Talk to us about your philosophy.
Yeah, I think besides the fact that as chef, we strive to use the best and freshest and seasonal ingredients we can, I think more and more, you know, our guests want to know where the food they're eating is coming from, you know, and I think it's important to be able to, again, highlight and pride ourselves on using, you know, organic local farms, you know, clean fisheries. Casey mentioned earlier, you know, our oysters. When we get oysters into the kitchen, you know, they've been harvested for maybe less than 4 hours. And
that's
from
Morro Bay.
From Morro Bay, yeah. And so I think, again, you know, that speaks for itself. And it goes along our idea as chef, and also, you know, for our guests to know that they're eating clean and properly sourced ingredients.
And another classic thing here on the Central Coast is wine, pairing wine with food. Talk to us about that.
Correct. So it's funny, because I actually come from a wine family. You know, my father owns a winery here in Paso, and, you know, he's been making wine for over 40 years now. So wine has always been, you know, a big focus, and especially in this area. You know, Paso has grown tremendously over the last 20 years and has become a destination for wine lover. And so, you know, for us to be able to highlight amazing wines, you know, and also partner with local winemakers who love what they do, and, you know, who are excited to be able to have their wine being enjoyed with amazing food, is it's a great combination.
So it follows that you guys would invite the winemaker here and do winemaker dinners, right?
Yeah, we've done a couple since we opened, and it's always a great time. And I think also, you know, for the guests, it's always fun to be able to meet, you know, the chef and the winemaker and get to enjoy the pairings together.
A little off topic, but maybe not. You talked about coming from the Bordeaux region and your family growing up there. Were you involved in the wine industry, your family, before?
Yeah. So my dad was making wine initially in Bordeaux before he moved to Paso Robles. And so I, since a very young age, I grew up on the vineyard. And so it's, you know, I think for me, it's been a big advantage because I understand the behind the scene of the winemaking and not just the final product. And I think it goes in hand, you know, food and wine is just such a beautiful thing. That's always been a big part of my cooking and my philosophy.
This is a little biased question, but any favorite, even varietals of wines that Paso are known for?
Yeah, I think it's interesting too, because you look at Paso in the late 90s, before it became what it is today, it was kind of stuck with Zinfandel and Cab, and you know, maybe not necessarily the highest quality. And you look at it now, it's so diverse. It's so diverse. Obviously, the Rhone varietals do very well here. You know, the Syrah, the Grenache, the Mourvèdre. But you have more and more new winemakers who are coming and introducing old continent varietal from Spain, from Italy. And we're realizing that a lot of those work as well. You know, so it's great diversity now that Paso has created. And it's super exciting.
That's really cool. And then there's some varietals. I mean, I was first introduced to Tannat back in Virginia, and a winemaker friend is doing that here.
Tannat is not for the faint of heart, you know. Again, you know, those are the things that are super cool because, you know, there's so many great things out there, and even though it might not be the most well-known or popular varietal, you can still get a great expression from the terroir, you know, through those varietals, and so I think it's super cool to try new things.
Another unfair question, but if we were going to have a glass of wine right now, what would you bring out? What would you serve us?
I might offend a lot of my Paso friends. My favorite wine is white Burgundy. So, you know, the Chardonnay varietal. That would definitely be something that I would love to enjoy right now with you guys.
And then digging deeper on the bias, is there a winemaker that's your favorite in that varietal?
Yeah, well, same. I might upset a couple more friends. You know, I have to say my dad, and I might be a little biased, but, you know, I think a lot of people will agree. You know, I think he kind of pioneered some of the winemaking that is happening in Paso. I also have my dear friend Stanley, who has a top winery. He's doing an amazing job. Don for Turtle Rock, Connor from Full Draw. I mean, I could go on and on, you know. There's a lot of amazing, talented winemakers, and you know, it's really what makes Paso so special.
Is your wine list primarily Central Coast?
It's kind of a mix of Paso and Old World. You know, there's some really interesting French wines. Vince, the wine director, you know, has really done a good job on growing the wine list and diversifying it. And so, yeah, you know, you can find some great local gems as well as some more Old World offerings. So it's cool.
I think, you know, Julian has a lot more background in wine than I do. I'm more of the ones like, oh, red and white. you know, I think along with what he was saying about the different varietals popping up here now with all these creative winemakers is also the soils that they're taking advantage of that maybe they wouldn't have in the past, which I think really opens up your scope of what you can do here and just the climate here and the soils that are available. I think that, you know, now that they've seen that and they've experienced and challenged themselves to try different varietals, it's really showing the creativity and the expertise of younger winemakers and older winemakers. So.
Very cool. One thing we haven't touched on yet, my favorite subject, desserts. Talk to us about some of your signature desserts, some that people just expect and demand when they come back.
Yeah, I think probably the most popular dessert we have at Emre is the aerated cheesecake. It's super creative and, you know, one of my favorites that's on the menu. It's when you think of cheesecake, you have the heavier base and it's like a little overwhelming and you're like, this is a lot. But with our cheesecake here, we do a pistachio kind of take on baklava right now. So it's a pistachio cheesecake base that goes through a ISI canister, aerates it, and then we fry the phyllo dough and hit it with an anise syrup. The elements of a baklava, which you would have with cheesecake, but it's all very fluffy and light. And
that's really cool.
Yeah. Chef also started with an olive oil cake that's been on the menu that everyone loves. I mean, it's such a classic. You know, you have this, what you might think is dense, but it's very just like umptuous. And it's not fat from butter, but fat from olive oil, which really speaks to the Mediterranean. It speaks to the central coast we're at right now. And it highlights, you know, what we do here. And I think it's a beautiful way to end your meal. We also carry Leo Leo Gelato, which Nicolo owns Leo Leo Gelato here on the Central Coast. He does a great job with sorbets and gelatos, probably some of the best I've ever had. So that's an offering.
And they have a retail in Paso?
They do have a retail in Paso, yeah. They also have lots of different spots where they sell pints and other things as well.
Yeah, I think Chef Casey mentioned our dessert program pretty well. I think what's fun with dessert is we're really changing them with the season. You know, we might keep some of the core of the dessert, but, you know, keep playing around and making it evolve through time and the season. And so it's been fun. It's interesting because I've never been really a pastry chef. You know, desserts have always been kind of a second thought for me. You know, I enjoy more of the savory part of the cooking and the food. I have a philosophy when it comes to dessert that, again, because I'm not a pastry chef, you know, I try to keep the dessert simple but always delicious. You know, and I think that's also the highlights here with the dessert is, you know, we think it's simple because, you know, we do it for a living. Maybe not everybody agrees, but I think we stay true to the flavor and, you know, when you eat our desserts, but you can really taste, you know, what's in there, you know, and so I think it's cool.
The other day, your general manager was talking about creating dinners for locals that might not be that expensive. Kind of a fixed price. You were talking about $50, including wine. Talk to us about that, your philosophy.
Yeah, times are a little tough right now. You know, I think for a lot of people, and it's unfortunate, but for us, trying to be able to still be able to create an experience for people who might not be able to afford, you know, a more expensive dinner, it's an important duty and role that we have. And obviously trying to make this work. And I think it's neat, you know, being able to make it approachable to everybody as much as possible is kind of the goal.
I think also we do lots of banquets here as well, and that kind of opens up opportunities for people like larger groups that want to experience some part of cuisine here at the hotel, and that enables us to kind of get outside of our box a little and be more creative with what we can do for those groups and stretches our imagination and enables other people to have a good experience, whether it's a reception or, you know, whatever else they're celebrating.
And you have different venues. The other day they're talking about the rooftop casual, relaxed dining offerings. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. Esperanza is Baja inspired cuisine. We do some other stuff up there that's not Baja. We do a little Oaxacan. We kind of play around with it, have fun. It's California Mexican, but lots of different influences up there. It's definitely more fast, but we still like to believe that there's a lot of thought behind it. Anything here at the hotel, we want to make sure that there's a very high standard of anything going into any of our dishes that the restaurants are serving. And, you know, when people come, they have an experience that they can't get somewhere else.
Your fine dining venue is called what?
Emre. E-M-R-E, yeah.
And that's in the main building.
Yeah, that's on the ground floor as you're walking by to the lobby.
And is there a signature dish there that people come expecting?
That would be the one that's the Slovakis. Yeah.
Thank you guys so much.
I'm the executive chef, Casey McMinn, and I'll be here 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
And this is Julian Aseo, consulting here at the EVA. And, you know, just super proud and excited of what the team has done here. And it's been fun talking with you.
You guys, thank you so much. This has been great. Now you got me hungry.
Good. That's the goal. I hope everybody else hearing this is hungry as well.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from the AVA Hotel in the heart of downtown Paso Robles. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station.
I listen to WNYC in New York, and in fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So yes, please support your local NPR station.
Lonely hearts meet somewhere on the street of desire. Parisian love can bloom high in a skylight room or in a gay cafe where hundreds of people can see. I wasn't smart and I lost my heart under bed. Don't ever be a heartbroken stranger like me. Stranger like me.